From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament, currently dealing with the second epistle of Peter. As he had in his first epistle, Peter wrote this second letter to Jews who had recently come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. However, even at this early period in the church's history, false teachers had arisen who sought to corrupt the pure teachings of the gospel. Peter exhorted these new believers to remember the basic truths of Christianity and to adhere to them. And as the apostle makes clear in this letter, false doctrine leads inevitably to unclean living. So he took great pains to clarify the true faith of the gospel. The mark of apostates is their denial of the cardinal doctrines of Christianity. The foundation of the gospel is the Word of God, and every teaching must be measured against the standard of Holy Scripture. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this message entitled The Challenge of Apostasy. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the writings of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled An Appeal, Deliverance. The text is found in Psalm 50 and verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. This is a promise indeed. Here is an urgent occasion, the day of trouble. It is dark at noon on such a day, and every hour seems blacker than the one which came before it. Then is this promise in season. It is written for the cloudy day. Here is condescending advice. Call upon me. We ought not to need the exhortation. It should be our constant habit all the day and every day. What a mercy to have liberty to call upon God! What wisdom to make good use of it! How foolish to go running about to men! The Lord invites us to lay our case before Him, and surely we will not hesitate to do so. Here is reassuring encouragement. I will deliver thee. Whatever the trouble may be, the Lord makes no exceptions, but promises full, sure, happy deliverance. He will Himself work out our deliverance by His own hand. We believe it, and the Lord honors faith. Here is an ultimate result. Thou shalt glorify me. Ha, that we will do most abundantly. When He has delivered us, we will loudly praise Him. And as He is sure to do it, let us begin to glorify Him at once.
You, I come before your throne, rejoice.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel, as it is presented by Christ, to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
First and foremost, the righteousness that is mentioned is not the attribute of God's eternal justice at all. It is specifically the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the righteousness of Jesus Christ is His obedience in life and in death on our behalf to make us acceptable to God. It's the righteousness of Christ that's being talked about. Second, it is not fairness. It is grace that saves sinners. I think once you put it into words, God in fairness gave us all faith and salvation. Once you put it into words, there is something naturally within the heart of a believer that rises up and says, that is false doctrine. Where in all the scripture do you have the slightest shadow of this obnoxious dogma that God's fairness made him reach out to us? My friend, it was God's grace that made him reach out to us, God's love. If God wanted to deal simply, fairly with us all, we would all be in hell. For that's all we deserved. If we wanted fairness, then that's what we'd have gotten. But we got grace. And third, when you say it was fairness, obviously, that would teach a notion of divine obligation to sinners. God owed them something if he was going to be fair. There's no such notion. No, no. Peter is simply teaching the same heartwarming truth that Paul had taught. Through the righteousness, the obedience in life and death, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we receive faith and salvation. So here then is the heart of the gospel. The person of Christ, the Trinitarian person, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of the Father, became our Lord and our Savior. And through his saving merits, through his righteousness, we have received faith and salvation. And this same Jesus is coming again to inaugurate the day of the Lord. This is the essence of the gospel. Now Peter says, let's get back to this. Remember this. This is the faith. Don't be shifted from it. Second thing, remember the foundation of that faith. Now follow me to chapter 1, verse 19 to 21. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's a very critical passage in the New Testament. One of the most important passages in all the Bible about the inspiration of Scripture. There are two suggested interpretations. Many modern commentators take the idea, following on from verse 16, which speaks of the transfiguration of Christ and the witness that Peter, James, and John had of that transfiguration, and the voice they heard from heaven. Many modern commentators say that because of the testimony of Christ, the Old Testament is more confirmed. It is therefore more sure. To be honest, I think that stretches what Peter wrote a little far. So the second interpretation, I think, is better. Peter is saying, look, I was on the mountaintop. I saw the glory of Christ. I heard the voice that spoke from heaven. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the written word of prophecy. In other words, he's saying, if you doubt what I have seen and heard, if you doubt my report of what I saw and heard, then listen to the Old Testament Scripture. It is God's written word. And all the false teachers who so arrogantly withstand us will have to withstand the written word of God if they are to make their doctrine stick. That's what Peter's teaching here. So he begins to tell us about the written word of God. Now, as I say in chapter 3, he extends this even to the New Testament. But he's defining what the foundation of our faith is. Look, if this Bible is merely a collection of the opinions of men, you and I have no foundation for faith. If this Bible is but the product of Jewish religious genius. As many rationalists say, the Greeks had a special ability for philosophical debate. The Romans had a special ability for building and for military precision. And so the Jews had a special ability for religious insight. If that's all this is, the evolution of man's religious quest, then we have no basis for faith. For what it would be then is something that had its origin no more deep than the heart and mind of man. But listen to what Peter says. Verse 20. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For a long time, the Church of Rome let its people believe that that meant that no individual could come privately to the Scriptures to interpret it. You always had to have the official interpretation of the Church there. But that is not so. The word interpretation is a word that speaks of the loosing of Scripture, not our understanding of it, but how it began. The whole tenor, all the words that are used here, are words that speak of origin. How it came into existence. By the private ideas of any of the prophets. No scripture is self-originated. None of it had its root in the mind or the heart or the ideas of man. Then he goes on. It is divine, verse 21. It came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, or as they were born or carried along by the Holy Ghost. There was, says Peter, a divine power from the Spirit of God that lifted these men. Some of them were educated, some of them were uneducated. Some of them were literary people, some of them were like Amos, mere herdsmen. But whatever their physical and personal position in the world, the Holy Spirit came with power and He lifted them. And He carried them along. There is, says Peter, a divine work here that produced the Scriptures of truth. Now I want you to get this. This is a very, very significant passage of Scripture. Peter says, this is the more sure word of prophecy. First of all, when it's written, it's open to the minutest examination. And that's one great reason why God gave a written revelation. It's open to the minutest examination. Second, as the reformers love to point out, because it carries the evidence of its origin in itself. That certainly is obvious in the Scripture. Now Peter says, I was on the mount, I saw, I heard. But we have something that's more sure than that. This is the death blow to popery's notions about tradition being a basis for faith and church doctrine. Because Peter, whom they say was the first pope, but of course there was no such thing, Peter would not make his own sight and his own report of the transfiguration a basis to establish anything that could not be established from the written word of God. Now, I want you to see the significance of that theologically. That is one of the most important things in this book. Peter would not make his own sight and his own report of the transfiguration a basis to establish anything that could not be established from the plain, written Word of God. It had to be scriptural to be Christian. And of course, by scripture, he went on, chapter 3, verse 16, to include the New Testament writings, especially the writings of Paul. Again, if you had time to work that one out, it's a beautiful little aside from Peter, because for the last few hundred years, there has been this notion that Peter and Paul were at loggerheads. Indeed, there is a school of theology. Should I say there have been various schools of theology that have believed that the only way to understand the New Testament and to find out what is genuine and what is not genuine is to see that there's a tension between Peter and Paul. And then in the next century, there was an attempt officially to bring them together. And that's what gave us much of the present New Testament. Of course, it's all nonsense. Peter says, I'm not at loggerheads with Paul. I'm not disagreeing with Paul. In the very first verse, he says, I'm preaching the very same gospel that Paul preached. And now in chapter 3, verse 16, at the very end of the epistle, he's ranking Paul's writings right alongside all the other scriptures. You see, here's the basis for our faith. It's not tradition. It's not the views and visions and plausible ideas of men. Man, it's wonderful what people accept nowadays by views and visions. All this anecdotal nonsense where you get somebody, I don't know if they're high on drugs or if their stomach has been giving them problems or if they have just a vivid imagination or if they're just plain downright liars. But, I mean, I have heard people, and they have told about their dreams and their visions, and God told them this, and God told them that. You have in this country the Kansas prophets. They're out telling people. You've all the Signs and Wonders Brigade, and how do we know that they're of God? Well, I have this vision. What they don't have is Scripture. What they're afraid to come to is Scripture. Doesn't matter whether it is I or any other preacher. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. The old Reformation statement still holds good. Sola Scriptura. By Scripture alone do we establish gospel truth. So he says, remember the faith and the foundation of it. But remember, there's a fight for the faith. A lot of Christians want to sit back and say, let's all be friends. That's the tenor of the age. It's very difficult nowadays to build a separatist church that's willing to fight. I mean, if you criticize, what you're told now, don't judge anybody. When I speak against the charismatics, there'll always be somebody get mad. You shouldn't do that. If I denounce the wickedness and the compromise of the Billy Graham organization, oh, you ought not to do that. If I start going down what is happening in the world today and what more especially is happening in the church today, I am told it is not loving. According to Charles Colson, we fundamentalists make an awful mistake in excluding Roman Catholicism from our definition of Bible Christianity. Because think of all the millions that we're excluding from the army of Christ. What a better job we'll do if we can add another, well, whether it's 500, 600, 700, or 800 million people to the army. He would need to go back and read about Gideon's army. That's the army God always uses.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.